Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1 through 4. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the words spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Apostle says a lot in these four verses.
Yes.
Lots of ground could be covered here. But we're going to look at the thought, the danger of neglect. The danger of neglect. First off, I suppose we must understand that the epistles were written not to the sinner, but to the saint. The writer of the epistles, Paul wrote most of the epistles in the New Testament. Some believe that he wrote the epistle to the Hebrews here. But he wasn't writing to the unregenerated. He's not writing to the sinner man, but he's writing to the church to encourage the church. He's writing to those that have been born again. And therefore, when he uses the word we, he's talking about the born again as well as himself. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Neglect means to be careless. To be careless of or to make light of. To not really give it the attention that it should be given. To not give it the place in priority and concern that whatever the subject is, to neglect it is to put it less priority. And what would be the most urgent priority of our lives is what the writer said, this salvation.
Right.
Mr. Albert Barnes said it is not merely if we commit great sins, not if we are murderers, adulterers, thieves, infidels, atheists, scoffers. It is if we merely neglect this salvation. You understand what he's saying. It's not like, look, if you do this horrendous sin, how shall you escape? But simply, if you do not maintain this that God has started in your life.
All right.
In respect to what the Apostle Paul said one time, that God is able to finish that he started. And by all means, he certainly is. But he does not make us serve him. He does not make us deny ourselves, take up that cross, and follow Jesus Christ. But we are responsible for the maintenance program of what God has started in our lives. How do we do that maintenance? You're doing a part of it right now by being in God's house. You're doing a part of it as tonight by worshiping Him. You're doing a part of it by coming to prayer, coming together, but the majority of your part of maintenance of this great salvation does not happen in the church. I heard one that's right and see a few nods. The majority of it is not happening in the church, just like I'll put a plug in here for the pastor. The majority, having pastored several years ourselves, we understand this truth. The majority of pastoring is not right here behind the pulpit. The majority of it's out there where the people are. out there where the work of God's going on. This is a very small percentage of the pastor's work. This is a very small percentage of your maintenance. So when you've done your duty, as it may seem, to have come to church, don't rear your shoulders back and say, I've done my part. I'll make it to glory after a while. You've only done a small percentage of your maintenance program. And Lord willing, we'll look at more of the things that's involved in that a little later. But neglect is enough to ruin a man. Neglect to be careless of or to make light of. A man who is in business need not commit forgery, robbery to ruin himself. All he's got to do is neglect his business and it'll go downhill. A man who is lying on a bed of sickness, he don't have to do anything to die. All he has to do is just lay there and do nothing about his sickness. Neglect. A man floating in a skiff above Niagara Falls, he don't need to move an oar or make an effort to destroy himself. Just keep on floating. Just keep on floating. Floating with the tide. You see, there is a tide that comes in the spiritual realm. And that tide begins to come against the child of God. It doesn't matter if you're a few years old in the Lord, a few months, a few weeks, a lot of years in the Lord. That tide continually is flowing. If we're not careful, it'll begin to blow against us.
Right.
And all we've got to do is just give in to it. And all of a sudden, we're swept away into the area of neglect. I'm tired. I don't feel like really seeking God's face today. I don't really feel like reading my Bible. There's other things easier to do. I'll just put it off till tomorrow. And you start floating toward the edge of the spiritual Niagara Falls. You don't have to do nothing. Little by little, you will fall over its edge and you'll become destroyed. Most of the calamities of life are caused by simple neglect. By neglect of education, children grow up in ignorance. By neglect of a house that's not kept, it goes to decay. As one person says, it goes to the dogs. The shutters start falling off. The floors start rotting just simply because it's neglected. Everybody knows that if you don't maintain the temperature in a house, it'll start decaying. Am I right?
Yes.
It'll start decaying. Neglect. If you don't maintain the temperature in your walk with God,
right,
it'll start decaying, start rotting. The neglect of sowing, a man will have no harvest. By neglect of reaping, the harvest would rot in the fields. Nothing we do in this life will survive if we neglect to maintain that we do. Look at our text with us this morning. He gives a warning. He gives an exhortation. He gives a deep-rooted cry out to those that are he's writing to. Therefore, we ought to. The writer is saying that I'm not just talking to you. As Brother Morgan this evening, he's not just talking to you. But we must pay earnest heed, must give earnest heed to the things which we have heard. That preaching we have heard. That testimony that we have heard. That teaching that we have heard, not just take it as entertainment, not just take it as, man, he really preached good, and that's all we got out of it. It seemed like, Brother Brown, there's a rash of that in the holiness realms tonight. Good preaching, and all it can get out of it is that it was good preaching. What did it tell my soul? What did it speak to my heart? What's wrong with applying it and saying, give the most earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we decide that was just for them and we're smarter than they are. And that's not for us. Hallelujah. Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. It's all right here. Y'all can look at it with us. Lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, some angels come and met Lot at the door of his house. Told the man, said, look, God's fixing to destroy this place. Lot began to talk to his sons-in-law, and they acted like he was just a crazy man, didn't know what he's talking about. And while Lot tarried, the angels took him by the hand. Took him and his wife and his two daughters, I believe it was, and brought them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot's wife was told, don't look back. But when she got out there, and for whatever reason it was, whether it was a lust and a desire for the things of Sodom, whether it was for the sake of her children that was yet in Sodom, the point is, she was warned by angels. She was warned by angelic beings, don't look back. The whole crop of them was warned by angelic beings, supernatural individuals sent by God to flee the judgment of God. And she turned around and looked and become a pillar of salt. She's more than just a pillar of salt. She is evidence of the judgment of God of neglecting to attend to what you have heard.
Right.
For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just and recompense of reward. Was God just for Lot's wife to be turned into a pillar of salt? Yes, because she was warned. Don't neglect what you've been told. How shall we, if they, not under the grace of God, not given the privilege of God's only begotten Son to die on Calvary and to shed His blood for us, if they neglected the word of angels, where does that put us on this side of Calvary, on this side of the grace of God, where God has sent His own Son and we neglect to hear His Son? I understand tonight that there may not be too many folks in the house that would be given to call himself a sinner. But remember, he's not talking to sinners. We've always heard it preached and preached a message to sinners. Come to Jesus. How shall you escape if you neglect such a great salvation? I don't think he's talking to sinners. He's talking about we. Young folks, will you listen to us back there?
Come on.
Come on here. Listen to the preacher. What if we neglect so great a salvation? If we neglect to attend to what we've been told, to walk into what we've been given, if we neglect that, the danger of neglecting, how shall we escape? He's saying there is no escape. There is no escape to the judgment hand of God. I would that this hour that we're living in, that the fear of God would come to back to the level where it used to be. Would come back to the level where when men feared God, and it was an awesome thing to be in God's house. It was an awesome thing to know that, hey, I'm saved. Just like the brother testified, coming down on this dead-end street, getting off the dead-end street that he once was on. That's awesome. And it's a fearful thing, because that dead-end street, I'll tell you tonight, is going to show you the pathway to get back to it, if it ain't already. It'll lure and it'll pull. And how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect, so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders. Have many seen the signs and wonders? Have many seen the power of God moving among us? And we know without the shadow of a doubt, it's God. This was God. Man couldn't have generated this change that come in that man's life. I couldn't have produced this that has happened and put such a change of mind, change of heart, change of attitude that I now have. I look back at my own life, at my own demeanor, and though I could testify, glory to God, I wasn't in deep, deep settled sin, but yet I was on my way to hell. All right. But I know the change that God made in me, and I realize this was signs and wonders of something that a human being could not do on its own. It was something that purely the grace of God could do. Praise the Lord. We have such a witness before us of the power of God. How can we neglect it? We don't neglect it because we sit around and think, you know, today I think I'm going to do a little neglecting. We simply do it by simply not doing. We simply do it by simply not doing. Just like listening when the preacher's preaching. It's like taking note, not so much on paper, but note in our mind when the pastor speaks something for us. Even to the smallest minute things that some would say are not really that important. But if they're not important, they should never be mentioned. When the pastor makes announcements and somebody comes around 2 days later, well, I didn't know that was going on. Why didn't you? Why didn't you know? Because you wasn't listening. You heard, but you wasn't listening. You heard, but you didn't receive. You neglected to place it in a file in your mind. We've become so dulled in our thinking in this day we're living in by technology and learning how to put things in files on phones and things like that till we fail to know how to put things in files in our minds. Yes. Neglect. The danger of neglect. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. You understand when the gifts of the Holy Ghost operate, they're operating at His will. And at His discretion and at His command, we don't decide to do these things. He's the one that operates and moves. Now it is dangerous to neglect, one, our spiritual growth, but grow in the grace of, and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Grow in the grace of God. Eat the Word of God. Live the Word of God. Dig in the Word of God. Lay with the Word of God. Let the Word of God be your desire. Let it want be your want. Do not neglect the Word of God in your life. Because it's dangerous. Because if we let these things slip, if God brought judgment on, for instance, Sodom and Gomorrah, and on that woman that just simply turned and looked back, how much sore punishment shall it be for us if we neglect? Hebrews 12:25 says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? It'd be easy to believe that these scriptures are speaking to the sinner because it gives us a point of relaxation. Well, I'm saved. But then it also gives you a point to believe that once you got it, you always got it. It doesn't matter what you do. But the Bible does not teach that doctrine. You must maintain your walk with God lest you let these things slip.
Right.
It's dangerous to neglect your efforts to please God. I know this pleases God, but I just don't quite understand it. If you know it pleases God, whether you understand it or not, embrace it and take a hold of it and don't neglect to please the Lord. I don't understand everything, Brother Brian, that the Lord does, but I understand one thing. My utmost desire is to please Him. Bless the Lord. Some people say you ought to use wisdom here and use wisdom there. I say use a heart to do something for God.
Amen.
Don't neglect your efforts to please God. That you may walk, Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Don't neglect to love one another. So this sister just about wants to get sideways with you about something. So what? Don't neglect to love her. No, these people down the road, they don't believe like I do. So what? Don't neglect to love them.
Right.
These people over here, I don't know what they're going to do next. I don't know what they're up to. But don't neglect to love them.
Right.
Don't neglect to love each and other and one another. Don't neglect to love that love. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us may go forth to everybody. Don't neglect, because it's easy to neglect. Something irritates you and gets up against your grain, and it'd be easy to say, well, I just ain't gonna fool with them no more. If you love them, you will stretch that hand out again and again and again. Some way, somehow, you will not neglect. What is neglect? To simply do nothing. Nothing. Doing nothing. There's a danger in doing nothing.
Right.
But I don't really know what the will of God is in my life. Don't do nothing. If you feel like God's got something special for you to do and you don't know what it is, do something you can't do. If you can wash windows at the church, you ain't figured out what God wants you to do, call the pastor. Say, I want to wash the windows. Do what you can do.
Right.
I know God's got something. Oh, we think it's going to be a pulpit or something like that. No, if you think God's got something special for you to do and you don't know what it is, see if you can cut the grass at the church. See if you can polish the pastor's shoes. I said that because he said somebody meant to polish his, but he got busy. You understand what I'm saying? Don't neglect to do something to please God, because God is putting a call. He's putting something on every one of us that's saved tonight. And it's dangerous to neglect. Don't neglect your Christian testimony. John said in 3 John 1:3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. He said, I'm so glad that somebody was testifying for you. It's wonderful to testify for ourselves. It's wonderful to stand up in church and stand behind the pulpit and testify. We've heard great testimonies here. But what's so wonderful, Brother Dwayne, is when the pastor is on the phone with me and he's testifying for you. And he's testifying for you, Brother Melvin. And every one of you, he's been testifying for a lot of you folks. He ain't been telling me, man, you better pray. I mean, I'm having trouble with this one. I don't know what I'm going to have to do to them. They have to hog tie and beat them and try to get them lined up. He'd been telling me that those things. I don't know if he's got any of that need to be done or not. I hope not. But he's been testifying for you. Don't neglect for somebody to be able to testify for you. In other words, your life, what God's doing in your life is affecting others. Your Christian testimony really doesn't come from your mouth. It comes from your walk. And somebody's going to talk about it. And somebody's going to talk about it if it's on the contrary. So don't neglect. Neglect's doing nothing about it. Hey, I'm going to walk upright. And now that's not to say you better make sure that Brother Brian or the pastor sees you walking upright. That's to say when you think nobody's looking, you're careful about what you do. You're careful. I'm talking about the danger of neglect. You do what you do because you're careful. Because he's gave me something that's very valuable. I'm going to take good care of it by his grace so that he can finish that work that he started in my life. It's dangerous to neglect the will of God. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Again, if you don't know what the will of God is, he doesn't want you to sit and do nothing. He wants you to seek his face. And I believe, and I've shared with others, that when you don't know what God's will is, keep doing what's right. And before you know it, you'll be doing what his will is. And all of a sudden, you'll be able to put a title on it and keep on going with it. Would you stand? Precious Lord, precious Lord, in the lovely name of Jesus. Oh God, you're so good to us. You're so good to us, Lord. So good to us. Oh, God, you're so good to us. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? Can you thank the Lord tonight for his goodness? Lord, we thank you for your mercy.
Lord, we praise you.
Lord, we thank you for your grace.